the first chapter of the book of Judges. Judges chapter 1, verse 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. That will suffice for our reading this evening. Let me read it again. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. May God bless to us that short reading. Last Thursday evening, you will remember we read verses 17 to 20 of this chapter, the wonderful victories which Judah and Simeon experienced in the mountain regions. The Lord was with them, and they drave out the inhabitants of the mountain. Verse 19. But then we came to the latter part of that verse, which tells another story. Judah could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. I pointed out that God had not only promised victory in the mountainous regions, he had promised to the children of Israel victory throughout the whole land. Chariots were not to deter them, for God had said in earlier days, this was his promise to them, way back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Well, Judah and Simeon no longer had faith in that promise. There was disbelief in their heart. In consequence, they had lost their power. They'd lost their power against the adversary. They might have been successful in minor battles, way there in the mountains, but coming out into the open, into the real world, and facing such an array of chariots, they took fright. And even 400 years later, the enemies of Israel, were still scornfully gloating over Israel's weakness when it came to open conflict in the valleys. I brought to you that verse from the first book of Kings, chapter 20, verse 23. And this was some 400 years after the book of Judges. 1 Kings 20, 23, and the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. Gloating over the fact that Israel was only successful in mountainous areas, but not in facing a mass array of chariots. In all this, I drew out the spiritual lessons, and I made application to our own hearts. We are not to be satisfied with lesser battles, which are done in the comparative seclusion of the mountains, in the name of the Lord. We are to come out into the open, right out into the devil's territory, and engage the chariots of the moral evil of this age. Engage the compromise of the church, and to oppose the rank apostasy throughout Christendom. Well, let us now look further. Up to the present, our chapter has concerned us with Judah and Simeon. The remaining 16 verses of this chapter focus attention upon the other tribes. And Benjamin comes before us next. Benjamin, together with the city of Jerusalem. So we read, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. We must now compare this with an earlier verse, which we read a week or two ago. I refer to verse 8 of this chapter. This is what we read. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem, and had taken it, and smitten it with the edge of the sword, and set the city on fire. Well, here in verse 8 we are told that Judah had taken the city of Jerusalem and smitten it. Now in verse 21 this evening we learn that the Jebusites inhabited Jerusalem, and Benjamin did nothing about it. Well, how can this be explained? It refers to the same period of time. Well, that which is recorded in these two verses pose a number of queries. First, if Judah had successfully taken Jerusalem, how come the Jebusites to be inhabiting it? Secondly, what business was it of the Benjaminites? Surely it was Judah's responsibility if the Jebusites had returned. Thirdly, and this is the vital question, in whose territory was the city of Jerusalem located? We know how the land was split up between the 12 tribes. Well, in whose territory was Jerusalem located? That's the vital question. Was that city really allotted to Judah or to Benjamin? You'll remember that I stated in the introductory address to this series of ministry that unless we were prepared to do some historical and geographical research, we should never get a right understanding of the book of Judges. I think I said at that time that a man might preach an eloquent sermon on Gideon or Shamgar or Samson. These are just characters which preachers have extracted from the book, and they preach fine sermons on them. But that's not expounding the book of Judges. That's not expounding the truth as the Holy Spirit of God has inspired it in this book. Here in the first chapter, we have many names of people and places. People and places. Now, people pertain to history. Places pertain to geography. And Almighty God has caused all this to be recorded in His Word, and it's there for our instruction and for our profit. And there are great spiritual lessons underlying these geographical and historical facts. And so we come back to the third question raised: in whose territory was Jerusalem located? And by answering that query, the other two will be self-explanatory. Now this map will give us the answer and explain matters far better than I can. Here's Benjamin, that's the territory allotted to them. There's Judah, territory allotted to them, and there's Jerusalem. There's the answer. The boundary goes right through the city. Boundary goes right through the city. This answers the question. The lower half of Jerusalem belonged to Judah, and the higher part to Benjamin. Judah had dealt with the enemies in his section, but Benjamin had not. And says our verse, verse 21, the Jebusites dwelt in Jerusalem, that is Benjamin's part of the city. The Jebusites dwelt in Jerusalem unto this day, which means right up to the time that the book of Judges was written, which was in the days of Samuel. This means that the Benjaminites dwelt together with the Jebusites for a period of over 300 years. I repeat that. The Benjaminites had dwelt together with the Jebusites for a period of over 300 years. Unto this day, says the scripture, the days of Samuel. Immediately should we be able to see how important it is that we do a little research, or else we won't know what this is all about. And here the Spirit of God is informing us that the Benjaminites, God's chosen people, remember, the Benjaminites had been happily living together with heathen Jebusites for over 300 years. Now that's many generations. You imagine this. The children of God's children playing and being brought up together with heathen children. Generation after generation. This is what lies behind that opening phrase of verse 21. The children of Benjamin did not drive out the Benjaminites, the Jebusites. Children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites. Now what a lesson immediately leaps out at us from these very early words. Are we, as the people of God, quite happy to dwell together? By that is meant to dwell in close friendship with unregenerate men and women. Are we unconcerned that our children are being brought up with the godless? Oh, we know that they're all around us. Yes, maybe. But we certainly are not to foster close friendship or encourage godless people into our homes or into our family circles. You see, if one generation starts this, dear ones, the next generation is almost bound to follow because they accept it as the norm. If parents form close relationships with the godless, well, of course the children will. Can't expect any other. The children of Benjamin started off this way when they were allotted their territory. They started off this way. And 300 years later, it was common practice. It was the norm. Sins of the fathers again. Sins of the fathers is to be seen in this. And those sins, but for the grace of God, are visited upon children's children. The Christians who would bring a wrong influence into their homes or are forming associations with those who are having an adverse effect upon their children. The word of God to such Christians is, you drive them out. you drive them out. Let us now proceed, go into more detail of these Benjaminites. Why was it that this tribe was so lax? Well, there were a number of contributory factors. First, there was a lack of faith. A lack of faith in God's warnings. You see, faith is simply to believe what God has said, to rest upon it and to act upon it. And here was a lack of faith in God's warnings. Let me draw attention to the book of Numbers, chapter 33. And in that chapter, through Moses, God is giving instruction regarding to the actual possession of the land as soon as Israel entered it. And in Numbers 33, verse 51, we read, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it." Verse 55, "But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell." Now, nothing could be clearer than that. God had given them the land, but there were enemies present. Those enemies, the children of Israel, had to deal with. But in dealing with them, God would be their helper. Now, all this, again, you see, is so typical. Lying beneath this is great spiritual truth. God brings us, his spiritual people, into the inheritance of his kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. But here below, we are surrounded by enemies. And these enemies we have to encounter. We are to drive out all who would hinder us, or whose influence or manner of life would rub off upon us. Now, if these Benjaminites failed to do this, the scripture says, it would come to pass, verse 55, if they did not drive out these enemies, it would come to pass that those very enemies would be pricks in their eyes and thorns in their side. I say, what imagery does the Holy Spirit of God use? What analogies does the Spirit of God draw? Such everyday simple things to help us in our understanding. Israel, if you don't drive them out, there'll be pricks in your eyes, there'll be as thorns in your side. Now you imagine this. Spirit of God didn't just put this in just to vary the phraseology. Pricks in the eyes. You imagine a prickly thistle in the eye. The pain would be such, and the damage so serious, that ere long, if sight was not completely lost, vision would be so impaired that one would never see things clearly. That's what the enemies of God's people will do. If they don't mar your spiritual vision, that you lose spiritual sight completely, you'll never see things clearly again. It'll blur your vision. Thorns in the side. Thorns in your sides. You imagine. Sprays of thorns strapped to her sides. It would mean that whether one stood still, whether one sat, or whether one lay down, the pain and the anguish could never be relieved. This is what the children of Benjamin brought upon themselves by settling down with the Jebusites. 300 years elapsed. They couldn't now see that there was any harm in it. They couldn't see there was any harm in it. It had gone on for generations. And yet there was constant trouble. Whether they lay down or whether they stood up, whether they tried to walk away from it, it was there. How many Christians have done just this? The influence of unconverted friends has so infiltrated their minds that no longer can they see spiritual truth clearly. So many problems and difficulties have entered into their lives as the result of failing to drive out these people, that now anxiety and anguish beset them. Before and behind, they've got problems which haunt their minds by day as they stand, and those problems seem to increase when they lie down at night. Thorns. Just as God warned Israel, so does he warn his people today. You see, this is the whole problem. Benjamin knew what they ought to do. God had told them in no uncertain terms. They knew what they ought to do, but they did not do it. One word again sums up all this. Disobedience. That word sums it all up. Disobedience. This was a lack of faith. They did not really believe God's warnings. There was also a lack of faith in God's willingness and power to help them. Jehovah had said that he would be with them to drive out all their enemies as they engaged him, as they engaged them. But the Benjaminites had not proved God in this. They'd failed to trust him. There too was a lack of faith in the promised blessings. For blessings always follow obedience. The children of Benjamin had never experienced the full blessing of their inheritance because of their disobedience. And how many Christians are just like this today? The true and the deep joy of God's salvation, they do not really experience because of disobedience. And invariably, it is the Jebusites which occasions this. Such, I would say, take the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of faith. Be obedient to your God and drive them out. First, then, the Benjaminites lacked faith. Secondly, they lacked love. Oh, but they loved the Jebusites. Well, that's not it at all, you see. This is how the church, the professing church, talks today. You've got to love everybody. It doesn't make any difference who they are, what they are. You love them all. To the believer, the word of God is that we love in the truth, not outside of it. You don't love that sin in which some wallow You don't love that. No, but God loves everybody. Does he? What about that scripture that says God is angry with the wicked every day? Hold these things in balance, dear ones. These Benjaminites, they lacked love. Should not love to their God have prompted them to strive to do that which he had commanded? What did the Lord say concerning this subject of love? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Again, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Let no man, whatever he might profess, talk about love if he's not keeping the commandments of God, if he's not walking according to Holy Scripture. These Benjaminites, they lack love. They should have bent over backwards, to use a modern expression, to deal with those Jebusites, because God had commanded them to do it. And out of love to God, they should have done it. Think of all that the Almighty had done for them in liberating them from the bondage of Egypt, in bringing them safely through the Red Sea, in destroying Pharaoh's armies who were pursuing them. Then all the provision and the protection for 40 years in the wilderness. And now they were actually in the promised land. The Lord had most assuredly lavished his love and his kindness upon them. Surely in return, they would show their love to him by obedience. But no. Thirdly, there was a lack of zeal. The people of this tribe just quietly settled down. They lacked zeal. They quietly settled down. Well, yes, it would have been far better if the Jebusites hadn't been there. But there it is. They did inhabit that section of Jerusalem. And rather than make a stir and create a big fuss, the Benjaminites decided to make the best of things as they were. Now, how many Christians are of this tribe today? They know that things are not right, or as they should be. They know that there are many Jebusites in the church which they attend. But rather than take a stand and create an upheaval, they just settle down and they accept the situation just as it is. A lack of zeal. This is not living by faith, beloved. Faith is obedience to the word of God. And faith calls for action. Fourthly, the children of Benjamin were far more ready to follow a bad example than they were a good. Judah was the first to go up, as we've seen already in this series of ministry so far. Judah was the first to go up against the inhabitants of the land. And for a time, those of Judah, they walked by faith. They trusted in their God. And they prospered. But then, they saw the chariots of iron. They saw those chariots of iron in the valley. And now they were governed by sight and not by faith. They saw the chariots and they lost their power. Walking by sight and not by faith. Now, which example did the Benjaminites follow? The example of Judah in the mountains or the example of Judah in the valley? Sad to say, it was the latter. They were far more ready to copy the bad example than they were the good. Now, it is a fact, beloved. It is a fact that evil is far more infectious than good. Our natural disposition, like Benjamin's, is always in the wrong direction. Our natural inclinations and disposition is always in the wrong direction. Again, you see, this is not the path of faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, in conclusion of this sermon, I must point out Benjamin's lost opportunity. Their lost opportunity. Their half of the city, their half of Jerusalem, which they failed to attack, was not taken till some 400 years later. That's a long time. Take us back in history to the Protestant Reformation. Think of all those years. That half of the city of Jerusalem was not taken from the Jebusites for 400 years. History again. But you see, these historical facts are absolutely essential to know. That is, if we are to derive any spiritual instruction and blessing. In the days of the judges, there was no king, as we know. After some 350 years, Israel demanded a king. We know this, we've come through the life of David. Some 350 years, Israel demanded a king. And in anger, God gave them a king. He was a great man to look upon. Head and shoulders above all the people. Tremendous personality. But he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. And he, like his forebears, over many past generations, he never drove out those Jebusites from Jerusalem. Saul the Benjaminite. Now at this point, we intrude into one of our more recent sermons on the life of David. These verses, which I'm going to bring to you from the second book of Samuel, chapter 5, will be familiar. Yet this evening, I think they will come to you with renewed force as they present another aspect of truth. Second book of Samuel, chapter 5, these verses will come back to you again. And the king, this is David, not Saul, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking, David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. And David said, On that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Millo inward. Those of you that have been present on Lord's Day evenings will remember that sermon, I'm sure. And the man before us here in 2 Samuel 5 is not a Benjaminite. He's of the tribe of Judah. he went to Jerusalem, to that section which was inhabited by so many Jebusites. Yes, they were still there. 400 years after Judges chapter 1. And he, that is David, he took the stronghold. Those Jebusites said, no one will ever get into this fort. David went in the strength of the Lord. He went in faith. And David took the stronghold. Then did the whole of that city become the city of David. And there he dwelt in that fort. There he established righteous government, as we saw some few months ago. But what is the lesson here? What is the lesson? It is this, that Benjamin should have driven out those Jebusites. Benjamin should have claimed that city as God's for his people. The opportunity was given to them. Indeed, it was their responsibility, but they failed. At length, God raised up another, David. He did it. But Benjamin lost the victory, and they lost the blessing, which should have been theirs. Beloved, the purposes of God, let's make no mistake about this ever, the purposes of God will always be outworked. Always. But if in those purposes you or I have a charge, and in it we fail, God will raise up another. He'll raise up another. His purposes will be worked out. But in this, you and I would lose the blessing. Here then is some of the truth contained in verse 21. May it be of help and blessing to us for God's glory. Amen. Hymn number 716. 716. God is my strong salvation. What foe have I to fear? In darkness and temptation, my light, my help is near. 716. Father and our God, we thank thee for the underlying spiritual truth of this one verse of Holy Scripture. We thank thee for the detail which thou hast given us. And our God, by comparing things spiritual with things spiritual and searching the scriptures as thou hast inspired them, whether much of it be geographical and historical, thou still hast a purpose in it. And we thank thee for that which we have learnt from thy word this night. Our God, may it not only be of interest to us, but may the lessons which underlie, the spiritual lessons, be sealed to our hearts, that we live in the good of it for thy glory. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and thy love, O God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen.